The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. Good so-and-so, good morning, brothers and sisters. Feast of the conversion of St. Paul here for you today. It's one of four feasts of St. Paul in the course of a year. Of course, we have today's feast, right? And then there's the feast of Peter and Paul in June. And then there's the feast of the Basilica of Paul, and that's in November. And there's a little-known feast called the Feast of the Shipwreck of St. Paul. That's in February. St. Paul shipwrecked in Malta and on the island of Malta. To this day, they celebrate the Feast of the Shipwreck of St. Paul. Right? But here's the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, one of the most important feast days of the year for us, especially in what we're living through in our own time. Now, lots of saints in the church have converted to Christ from a sinful life. You can think about Mary Magdalene, out of whom Christ cast seven devils, or St. Matthew the tax collector. Or St. Augustine, right? Sowed his wild oats. So many examples of saints who wandered far from home, lived a very sinful life, and they found their way back to God. The conversion of St. Paul is not like that. Now, Paul calls himself the worst of all sinners, but you know what? The fact of the matter is, Paul was always a deeply devout and religiously observant man. He was a rabbi's rabbi, right? I mean, he studied at the feet of the great Rabbi Gamaliel, and he strove his whole life to keep the law of Moses right down to the last letter. That wasn't the case with St. Paul. He wasn't a conversion from a life of great sin. Paul, rather, was marked by a misguided zeal. And that's what led him to believe that Christianity was an attack on all that was good and holy in the world. This splinter group that broke away from Judaism with no circumcision covenant or animal sacrifice or temple worship or Sabbath observance on the Saturdays was an attack on all that was good and holy, and Paul dedicated himself to stamping it out, and he did so thinking, was convinced that he was doing God's work. That was, of course, until he met Jesus Christ, like you heard in your first reading. On the road to Damascus, to go and to round up and imprison and execute even more of these troublesome new Christians, he met Jesus Christ, who said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul said, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And after he'd met Jesus Christ, his whole world was turned on its head. All of his values were inverted. And here's my point for the day. Inasmuch as St. Paul was converted from misguided zeal, we are living in a world of potential St. Paul's right now. I'm absolutely convinced of this. You know, you look across the Middle East, you look across North Africa, you read the news, you hear the stories. Deeply devout and religious people, or at least so they proclaim, attacking and killing Christians. You've seen them beheaded and all these things terrible things that you hear about on the news. And they think, at some level in their head, they think they're doing God's work. I can't get inside their heads to know what they're thinking. I will never be able to do that. But inasmuch as they are marked by misguided zeal and have yet to meet Jesus Christ, I'm convinced there are many potential St. Paul's among them. It's happening right here in our own country, right? With militant atheism, dogmatic materialism, sometimes they call themselves social justice warriors, which is not a religion, but it sure as heck functions like a religion. I mean, if it were a religion, it would be one of the strictest religions in the world, because man, I tell you, you defy one of their dogmas or you violate one of their inflexible principles and you are canceled, right? We know all about this cruel cancel culture. It's not a religion, but it sure does function like one. And many of these people attack the church because they think they're doing good. Again, I can't get inside their heads. I don't know what they're thinking. But inasmuch as they are marked by misguided zeal, we are living in a world of potential St. Paul's. 9 times out of 10, a cynic is a disheartened idealist who's still looking for a reason to believe. They have to meet Jesus Christ on the road. And, you know, there's a lot of ways we can help them do that. Let me offer you just 3. Prayer, encouragement, and your good example. Let's talk about your good example first. Every time you refuse to match insult for insult, every time you refuse to escalate, or it's clear that you're living up to gospel principles like, you know, temperance and chastity and honesty, even at your own expense, I want to tell you this. Everyone notices. They might not tell you that they notice, but it's manifestly good, true, and beautiful, and it's impossible to ignore. Just ask yourself this question. Look at your own life and imagine, how many times have you been moved by the good example of other people and you never told them about it? Every time you witness to the gospel, even if they don't tell you, I'm telling you, it makes a difference. You want to know what converted the ancient Romans from paganism? It was the witness of the Christians, especially in their martyrdom. They never knew it. But be confident, every time you obey one of God's commandments, you're helping convert the world. Secondly is encouragement. A lot of people, many people right here among us here this morning, are discouraged by our own past. Certainly there's a lot of potential St. Paul's out there in the world who wouldn't want to convert just because of the sheer discouragement of the thought that they've done so much that's wrong, even though they thought they were doing good. Know this, in God's economy, nothing is ever wasted. That's the encouragement we want to offer. St. Paul, because of his persecution of the church, was a far better evangelist than he'd ever been if he'd just sat quietly on the sidelines. God wastes nothing in our lives, in the lives of everyone else. Be liberal in offering that encouragement. People out there need it. And lastly is prayer. Most mysterious of all, you know, when you pray for somebody, what happens? What happens? You want to know what happens? You give them an unfair advantage in doing good. That's what happens. When you pray for somebody, you don't force somebody else's will, but by God's grace, their mind is moved and their heart is moved. They're given, you know, like a breath of encouragement in the depths of their conscience. Don't do the wrong, do the good instead. Every single time. I'm telling you, if you could see the result of your prayer, you'd never stop praying for people. God always answers and responds to your prayers. So what we want to do, make a daily habit, even if you don't feel any difference, keep soldiering on and pray for someone in particular. Maybe you can pick out something out of the news, somebody out of your family, somebody out of your friends and relatives. Pray for them every single day. You are giving them an unfair advantage and helping them. It's a really encouraging feast day, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. Do not let your hearts be discouraged. Every person in the world was made for God. Kapox Dei, capable of God. Made for nothing else. We're designed for God. All we need to do is meet Christ on the road. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to make that possible. St. Paul, pray for us.